You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. We turn now to an idea attracting more and more attention in Michigan and really across the country. It's called placemaking. Placemaking is leading to efforts to create more livable, vibrant, and creative communities. And in short, it could make Michigan cities better, more attractive places to live. We wanted to find out where placemaking is working and how cities across Michigan could benefit. We're joined now by Arnold Weinfeld. He's the Director of Strategic Initiatives at the Michigan Municipal League, and he's joining us from Lansing. Welcome to Stateside, Arnold.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
And joining us from Marquette is the City Manager, Bill Vida. Welcome, Bill.
Thank you.
Good to have you with us. Arnold, I'd like to start with you and just explain to us, those of us who are not familiar with this term, what is placemaking?
Sure. I appreciate that opportunity. And actually, I want to start off by saying I don't want to get caught up in the terminology, although we're shooting for a common language these days because communities and community leaders across the state have been engaging in placemaking for a long, long time through their community development efforts, such programs as the Michigan Main Street Program, which has been around about 15 or 20 years, contains a lot of the elements that we're talking about placemaking, about building communities, downtowns, and neighborhoods that people want to be in. They want to work there, they want to live there, they want to play there, and creating the kinds of amenities that the market research is showing us people are looking for. At the Municipal League, we started this exploration about 7 years ago or so in the midst of Michigan's decade-long recession as we sought ways to help our members. We represent cities and villages all across the state of Michigan, as we sought to help our members climb out of the recession. And we started looking around the country at what other cities were doing, you know, the Seattles and Portlands of the world, and also talking to market researchers about what they were seeing and what people are looking for in communities. One of the first statistics that we came upon, very interesting, said that two-thirds of college-age graduates, 25 to 34, look for a place to live first than a job. A
couple of other folks mentioned the same thing, that they look to where they want to live, and then they search for the job. And I think a lot of us did, that it was the other way around. Find the job and follow it. Yeah.
And a generation ago, generation or two ago, that's the way it was. Mm. So one of the other things we found is that those places that were prospering had a high percentage of college-educated graduates. So if we know that college-educated graduates help to raise per capita income and increase prosperity in a community, in a region, and that they're looking for a place to live first, then we better have some pretty darn good places for them to live in. So then you take the next step and you ask, what are they looking for in these places? Why are they looking for places to live first? What is it about those places? And what you find are things like walkability, so walkable downtowns and neighborhoods. There's excellent multimodal transportation, so not just cars available, but public transit, streetcars, the ability to bike from place to place. And these kinds of are the amenities that not just these young professionals are looking for, but what we found, it's also what empty nest baby boomers are looking for. As their kids are now grown up, the empty nest baby boomers no longer are looking to live in that 2,000 and 3,000 square foot house out in the suburbs. They want to be where the action is, where they can go to a restaurant and the play and the show, or some downtown club. It's very interesting what the market research is showing. And Michigan has so many assets in each of our communities, differing assets. You know, we're a very large state geographically, we have so many different assets in each of our communities that we can leverage to try and attract these people to our downtowns and our neighborhoods. And so placemaking are the actual actions that one takes, whether it's a local government or a nonprofit or a neighborhood group, to create the kind of place that people want to be in.
And one city that is reaping the rewards of investing resources into placemaking is Marquette, the largest city in the UP. City Manager Bill Vida, Marquette was actually doing this back in the early 1980s. Just like Arnold was saying, it wasn't even called placemaking, but Marquette was doing it. What did that look like? What kinds of things were being done?
Yeah. Well, you know, and first let me thank Arnold. He's a good colleague, and he's really set the right context. You know, we appreciate MML's efforts, not so much for, picking the term, but really the concept of placemaking is important because it really facilitates a common dialogue and a common focus. And, you know, if you look 40 years ago at the federal level, they had this term called urban renewal.
They sure did.
And essentially what it resulted in was cities paving over or tearing down large swaths of what they deemed obsolete property. And city centers were being largely abandoned in favor of these huge shopping malls that were kind of replacing these public spaces on the outskirts of cities or in townships or other kind of jurisdictions that really offered maybe less regulations and more opportunity for greenfield type of growth. You know, so we've gone through this cycle of abandoning things. We've gone through the cycle of leveling things. But at the end of the day, when you live in a community, particularly with people who really start walking around and looking at the buildings and trying to figure out what are we going to do to replace maybe businesses that are transitioning or industries that are transitioning, you come up with this idea of placemaking because at the end of the day, you want to live with a quality of life and a lifestyle that supports and attracts vitality and growth to your town. So in Marquette, we enjoy a heritage largely based about 160 years ago in kind of natural resource industries. And over the last 165 years, we've transitioned into one where we're the seat of regional government. We have a university. We have the largest employer in the Upper Peninsula, which is our healthcare network. We have a lot of tourism. We have a lot of retail and manufacturing. And so we've really moved away from those earlier economies towards now more modern 21st-style economies. But you can imagine along the way, natural resources mean you've got lots of big, heavy equipment like trains and trestles and railroad tracks and logging trucks and all kinds of other things that your town is being optimized to support. And when those aren't your predominant industry anymore and you have a lot of that legacy infrastructure laying around your town, you start thinking, well, do I still need that trestle or do I want a park? Hmm. Or do I still need those railroad tracks or would I rather have a bike track? And do we still need, you know, the shopping mall? Or now is the integrated ability to kind of enjoy a park, do a little bit of shopping, maybe stop by a beer garden to enjoy some of Michigan's other agricultural bounty that's very popular these days? Is that the kind of lifestyle people are looking for? And if that's the case, then you start really gearing your economic development strategy to manage that transition.
Yeah, Bill brings up a great point, Cynthia, in that the model of the last 50 years that he was talking about has really become unsustainable. And when I use that word, what I mean is that we only have so many resources to go around. I mean, you look at the debate these days over transportation funding in this state and the like, and, you know, local officials have been doing a bang-up job of spending taxpayer dollars as efficiently and effectively as possible. And this is a way to spend those taxpayer dollars as efficiently and effectively as possible is to invest in those areas in the downtowns and the neighborhoods where people want to be and where we already have infrastructure already in place to make that go, to make that work.
We're talking about the concept of placemaking and making communities in Michigan really filled with a sense of place and a place that is vibrant and where people want to live. We're speaking with Arnold Weinfeld, who's with the Michigan Municipal League, and the city manager of Marquette, Bill Vida. I'm curious of the thoughts of both of you. What do you say to communities that are already tapped out and drained, both not only in terms of economy and finances, but in terms of the spirit of residents? Can you change gears and get things rolling again in a place like that?
You know, on a statewide perspective, you know, we have been talking to local officials, and not just local officials, but, you know, residents, private sector organizations, nonprofit organizations all across the state and communities across the state. And, you know, even though they may be in a spot that's tougher than some others, the items that we're talking about, the things we're talking about, are all scalable. There's no reason why even the smallest community can't have a sharp downtown, take advantage of whatever parks they may have, and be able to create a kind of attractive place both for their residents and for business. And it can be done. What we tell people to take a look at is, you know, look at your ordinances. Can you do mixed-use commercial residential in your downtown? Have you thought of working with, you know, the largest employer in your community, whether it's a bank or a hospital or whatever it may be? And are you reaching out regionally to other communities in your region, you know, to help you move forward on providing services as well?
And I echo everything Arnold says. From a practical standpoint, I can tell you the public-private element is probably the most critical part for carrying forward. You know, at the bottom of it, the communities all have certain natural advantages. Marquette is blessed to be sitting on the southern shore of Lake Superior, which just provides this beautiful, rich outdoor environment that whether you're able to provide the opportunities through some kind of man-made means or whether people just feel like wandering through nature's glory, they have the opportunity to be distracted in a lot of different ways. And the challenge then becomes, for anything that the community would provide, what is that balance and what is that need? And, you know, in the past, what might have happened, and certainly Michigan's experienced this in a lot of different places, typically when communities were looking to provide for parks and recreation or arts and culture or other kind of recreational opportunities, they were typically making their decisions and making their investments at peak demand.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would build as many soccer fields as they would require to manage it when soccer is very interesting, or they would build to and manage as many baseball fields as the demand was creating. And typically, the demands were coming in when the peak number of people were interested in it. But when the tastes of the community change, and you don't need as many baseball fields as maybe what you initially invested in, you know, how do you repurpose those, and what do you do with those? And so, The experience have been that the communities now are focused really less on these capital acquisitions, less on trying to go out and do everything for themselves out of the public money, and looking for new and innovative kind of partnerships with community members, with interested parties for the specific things that they want to see done. And we're blessed in Marquette, and I think that's really the secret sauce, and it's not so much a secret. And there are many, many other communities throughout Michigan that have figured this out, that ultimately placemaking comes down to people who feel very passionately about their community and they want to see good things happen in it. And so for most of the events that we have in Marquette, the city's not the one who's putting them on or programming them or really making the investments and the time and energy to see them happen. We provide the basic infrastructure. We take care of all the permitting. We try to make everything as streamlined as possible to enable those good things to happen. And then we step back and get out of the way and just watch the fun.
And get the residents doing it.
Not just the residents, it's the businesses, it's the community.
Right.
The jurisdictional lines get very blurred when you start talking about some of the things that people are looking for, you know, the physical jurisdiction to host. But we tend to look at ourselves less as a city in those regards and more as a community of interest.
Yeah, and Bill, Bill's last point there is something that we preach a lot these days, is that local governments should be the host of the party, not the life of the party. Like Bill was just saying, you know, find a way to, you know, bring those people together, get them what they need, and then let them do their stuff. And it works. Like you said, it's the secret sauce. And, Michigan's really blessed to have, you know, a city like Marquette and the work that they've been doing. And it's taken more than just a few years to get it done. And I think that's another point that needs to be made. This is a constant effort that takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. But because of the efforts that have taken place in Marquette, it's the reason why, you know, the Municipal League has chosen Marquette as the place to hold its 2014 annual convention. And we're very excited to come up and showcase a city that's doing things the right way and, garnering national attention as well as state attention for the amenities that they have and for the place that they've become.
And the payoff of that, if that type of mindset goes throughout communities throughout Michigan, is a state that is a more attractive, livable place. And again, doubling right back to what you told us at the beginning, Arnold Weidfeld, about especially these young college graduates and these young professionals that the state wants to hang on to and not lose them to Chicago when we realize they are looking for that place to live first.
That's key here in Marquette, and I didn't get a chance to opine on that. But, you know, we view ultimately the focus of placemaking to be to capture those young people. I mean, we're also host to universities I mentioned, mm-hmm. and ultimately the most scarce resource that there is on the planet are those great brains. And if we're training them and if they want to stay in town and we're not providing them the opportunity to help our local economy, but if we're exporting all those great minds to the benefit of somebody else's economy, we're really defeating kind of the whole purpose of our economic growth plans. And so it's absolutely critical when it gets, it's not just about people who care passionately, but it's people who care passionately and want to stay and contribute. That's the absolute most important part of it all.
Arnold Weidfeld is the Director of Strategic Initiatives at the Michigan Municipal League. He joined us from Lansing. And joining us from Marquette, the city manager of Marquette, Bill Vida. Thank you so much to both of you for your insights and for talking with us today on Stateside.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Cynthia. Appreciate it.